You are listening to the We Hired a Sitter for This podcast.
We hired a sitter for this.
We have a roster of like 7 sitters.
I'm spending $3,000 on paints.
Do you go to therapy?
Never have, no.
There was a small fire. I put it out.
Real talk, the stakes are too high with my baby.
Comedy, parenting, marriage, life.
We do it all.
I'm a dad and I'm busy.
I have an opinion. I don't know if it'll be right, but
I'm Patrick.
My name is Gaston.
We hired a sitter
Biggity, biggity, bop, bop. Scatty, 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 bitty, 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 bitty. This is me trying to mess up Patrick's intro.
This is the best.
You can't get no words in.
That sounded like ODB doing jazz scat music.
Skip it up.
That's the best intro we've had.
Hell yeah, baby. We
that's
out
incredible.
Here, yo.
How are you, Mr. G?
Fantastic, man. Chillin', homie. We out here living life, baby.
Oh my gosh. Good to see you. Good to see you again. So
hell
soon.
Yeah, baby. We out here. Back to backs.
Yeah, man. We're recording another episode. This jacket is me trying to make it look like we are recording on a different day.
I'm not doing any of that. I'm embracing it.
Yeah.
This is who I am.
We have talked about the uniform nature of our presentation in the world, but I'm like, well, I got this jacket sitting here. I could throw this thing on.
This
is from The Gap. It's a denim jacket I received as a gift from my first real girlfriend, Claudia, back in like 2000 or 2001, maybe.
Yo.
It looks okay from this angle, but if I stand up, you'll see this thing is not fitting me quite
right. Fuck that jacket, B. I'm Team Ross, okay?
Oh, right.
That jacket is trash.
You have a loyalty.
Real tall, B. Worst jacket I ever seen. I hope it burns on you right now. The nerve of you bringing up Claudia.
Claudia is an amazing person. We communicate every now and again, maybe once a year or
Yo,
something.
What are you doing?
Do you think that's dangerous?
I don't agree with any of this at all.
Yeah.
I feel like there are 365 million people on this country. I don't need relationships with the 40 or so people that are in my past.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
They are there for a reason.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, there's not a functioning relationship. I'll say that. And you know what's an interesting symbol in 2024, if you have a functioning relationship with somebody, is if you are connected on social media. And her and I are not connected on social media.
Good.
But here's where it gets tricky, and maybe you have some thoughts about this. Many of my family members still are friends with her on Facebook or follow her on other platforms. Like, where do you stand on that?
I'm not going to tell you unfriend her if we broke up.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to like appreciate proactively keeping the friendship alive.
Yeah. Like, you know I will say, I think I somehow noticed like maybe my mom wishing her a happy birthday.
Oh, that's wild work.
Like, yeah, that's a little dicey, right?
Yo.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Come on, mama.
Man, I don't know if it was my mom. For the record, it might have been an aunt or something.
Come on, Tia.
But the family loyalty
that's brutal.
Has to trickle down, right?
Yeah, nah, B. You can't do that at all, B. I'm not about that at all.
Yeah.
I feel like there's too many other people to be friends with, A.
Yeah.
Like that, as much as that person was a lovely person, and I believe in the value of every relationship in the sense that, like, If I spent time with you, whether it was dating, messing around, whatever we were, you made me a better person and a better partner.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a good husband because of the people I was with before.
Yeah.
With that said, stay the hell away from me.
Yeah, the door is closed.
Yeah, like, that's it. We are exes for a reason.
Yeah.
And it should stay that way. Like, the only time, so...
But you and your wife are high school sweethearts, right?
Essentially? We've known each other since high school. We started dating in college.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah. Anyone that you date before that, after like 20 years, if you bump into them, you could say, hey, how you doing?
Yeah, yeah.
And still not add any contact.
Yeah.
I still don't want your Facebook. I don't want your IG.
Right.
I don't want your number.
Yeah.
The only exception to that is if one of you is so uber successful that to prove how far along you are, both economically, career-wise, and from this relationship, you can offer a gift related to your career.
Oh, interesting. Okay, I thought maybe you were going to say, maybe I'll reconnect with you so I can rub it in your face.
No. You ain't being grimy.
Yeah.
It's to show your growth as a person.
Okay.
And it's like, you make it at, like, for example, we're comics. If you're doing stadiums.
Yeah.
and you bump into Claudia, throw her some tickets.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, hey, bring yeah, the family,
yo, bring your peoples out.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know what I mean? Like, I appreciate the time we spent together.
Yeah.
You should spend some of that time seeing the genius that I am today.
Yeah.
But do it from a distance because I still don't actually want to.
With me, it's tricky because,
make it
like,
awkward.
Yeah, I hear that. With me, it's just tricky because, like, any of my exes, I'm trying to think. In sobriety, I got sober 15 years ago, and that's when I met Ross soon after that. So she's the only real adult sober relationship I've had where I've been I've had some semblance of being an upstanding member of society. So anyone else, they were traumatized to some degree by being with me. So, like, I have a feeling none of them are very interested in what kind of art I'm making now. They're
fair.
Just like, we're just glad we got away from you.
Yo, even more reason not to, like, rekindle that thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You bump into them, say, hey, if they want to talk, apologize for the shitty version I was before.
Yeah.
I'm a better man now, but that isn't on you.
Yeah.
Just want to say that you deserved better at the time. And that's the end of that convo.
Yeah, yeah.
Keep it moving. Go back and get a drink.
Totally.
And go to another part of the bar.
Well, this feels good and appropriate to kind of start out with an advice-based exchange here, because we found some interesting things on Reddit relating to parenting. You want to read a couple of these?
Hell yeah.
I think we should go in order of, like, spiciness level.
Ooh.
So this first one is a little silly and inane, but kind of hilarious. So this says, the heading is, my 11-year-old daughter ate cat poop.
Ooh, okay.
This morning I thought it was unusually quiet, and I walked into our kitchen to find the door to the laundry room wide open. It was closed, but must have been latched. When I ran into the laundry room, I found her standing at the litter box with a cat poop in her hand. 11-month-old. Did I say 11-year-old?
Okay, 11-month-old.
11
okay.
months. I found her standing at the litter box with a cat poop in her hand and litter on her face. She was smiling so big at me and seemed so proud of herself. Big mom fail. Don't worry, I immediately got the poop out of her hand, washed her mouth out and the litter off of her, brushed her teeth, and gave her a bath. She's now peacefully napping while I try to convince myself I'm not a terrible mom. First of all, cats are fucking disgusting. I can appreciate the beauty of a cat. I like a tiger. I like a lion. I like a house cat. They're gorgeous. I'm just deathly allergic to them. So I'm triggered by how, like, honestly, if I see a cat, I start to get the itch. You know what I mean? But if I'm around cats, it makes me very sick. It's horrible. But they're just the shitting in the house, the litter box, the smell. Like, it's a whole production. So I feel like once there's a kid involved, get the cat out of here, because the kid is gonna be shitting in the house, and you gotta get the box for the diapers, and you gotta, like, there's just too much stuff that can get mixed up.
I'm not pro cat at all, but, like, man, you are really, like, really making it sound like they're a lot of work. Cats are, like, the least maintenance pet ever.
But the work comes in because of the detritus, the associated. It's literally called a litter box. Like, a litter box. It sounds like something you use once and get it out of there. But it just stays. And it's got a brand. It's got an odorific brand that, you know, it once you're in somebody's home who has a cat.
Yeah,
you know they have a cat.
So yeah, I'm with you. Overall, I don't like cat people for a few reasons. One, they get too comfortable with having cats.
Uh-huh.
So, like, to your point, they don't smell the cat. I smell the cat.
Yeah,
the cat is everywhere. Okay, yeah. It smells weird. It's not a pleasant, it's not bad, it's just not good.
Yeah.
And I don't want it. Two, you get too comfortable in the cat adjacent. So it's more like 1B. In the sense that you don't think it's different when a cat uses a dish and you use a dish, and it's completely different.
Yeah.
Like, I'll see you use a plate for cat food that you also want me to eat from.
Yeah.
And that's not cool. Nah, those are different plates. Those should not be the same plates. And every cat person I know starts as a separate plate person, but eventually they're like, it's just another thing I clean.
Yeah, the China becomes intermingled.
Nah, B.
It's interspecies China, and we can't be doing that.
Terrible. It should be, low-key, it should be another kitchen.
Yeah.
Like, it should be a whole other dishwasher, everything.
And the cat dishes should be cute. They should be, like, custom-made ceramics with cute kitten paws and little whiskers on there. Then,
I thought
you know,
they should have fishies, like, for inspiration, you know?
They should know that that's
Who you eat.
Yeah, that's the kitties. That's the kitties' hardware.
Real talk.
And then the adults, they use the human stuff.
Yeah.
And then everybody keeps their germs to themselves.
But every cat person I know, I see them, I see them feed the cat. And they're like, yo, you want some? I'm like, not here.
But,
I'm good.
But
we can order out.
So let's answer the question.
She
says, I'm trying to convince myself I'm not a terrible mom. You're a terrible mom. You have a wild animal in your house who shits in a box. This animal shits in a box, which is that perfect eye level for an 11-month-old. And I know an 11-month-old when I see one and how they behave. They want to pick stuff up off the ground and taste test it and check it out. I used to call it is it cheese test. Franny would want to pick anything up off the ground, take a bite to see if it was cheese because she had a real cheese face. So your kid was playing is it cheese with a fucking dump from your caps. And you can't do that. You can't have logs that are so attractive. Look like they're little nuggets. They look like, and it looks like a sandbox. Kids play in the sandbox at the playground. Your kid thought the shit box was a sandbox.
You sent mixed messages.
Yeah.
Now she got a kink for the rest of her life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
She's from cat to scat play.
Look at that. Look what you did.
So it is a mom fail. It's forgivable.
Yeah,
but
I think
it's
forgivable, but you got to own that
and
one.
And these things happen. Look, I mean, I'm trying to think of the worst biological conundrum Franny has gotten into.
Question.
Yeah.
If your kid eats shit, do you tell Ross?
Oh, this brings up an interesting thing. I would tell her. I wanted to say, I do have random knowledge about stuff sometimes, and I do know that there are really harmful parasites in cat poop.
Oh, wow.
Like, there's, like, certain diseases that get spread very specifically through cat poop. Somebody
Why do we
probably,
have cats, B? Let's get rid of these cats.
Probably somebody saing
about
this
in the comments. Yeah,
someone
already would be like, yo, your kid is dying right now.
Let's see.
Real talk. Yeah, I'm...
No.
Do you tell the kid too, like when they're older? Hey, listen, just gotta tell you one time.
Here's one of your greatest hits.
Real talk, you ain't shit.
Yeah,
you little.
that is one of those things that dads during wedding speeches think is gonna really kill with the room. They think like a sincere wedding speech should be a roast of their daughter.
Oh yeah,
and then they say some horrific shit, and everybody's like, "Why is he bringing this up?"
That works with sons sometimes,
yeah.
But definitely not daughters.
Yeah, not on their big day.
Nah, man.
Here's a thing that happened with Franny that I didn't tell Ross about that I think I have told her about since that I'm ashamed of. I was so ashamed when it happened. She was like probably 5 or 6 months old, and each morning I would get up and spend a couple hours with her while Ross got more rest because she was up through the night like feeding her or whatever. Like she'd be up and down all night. So I would take a couple hours in the morning. And I would do a thing when she was small. She couldn't even walk yet. You know that bouncy thing? It's like a baby Bjorn branded thing. She would sit in this thing. It was basically like a wire frame, and it's a spring, and it's not motorized or anything. Like a little tiny hammock, basically. And it says very clearly on there, only use on the floor. Never put this on a table. Never put it on the couch, etc. I got into a routine where I would sit on the couch, and I would write my morning pages with her next to me in this bouncer on the couch, and she'd be perpendicular to the couch against the cushions, and I would kind of gently bounce her. Sometimes she'd be in and out of sleep still, and I could do my writing and whatever. And she always, you know, when they're small, they don't have core strength, so she'd basically be here like this, like chilling, like looking at me or drinking a bottle or whatever. But then she started getting core strength where she could sit up.
Yeah.
And one day I wasn't paying attention, or I might have gotten up for a moment, and she sat up on this thing, and because it's spring loaded, it kind of launched her a little bit, and she did a full front flip from the top of the couch down to the floor.
Yo.
Like she essentially landed on her feet and kind of caught herself, but it was like really scary, and I felt I felt horrible. Total dad fail. And I can judge this cat shit lady because I've also made mistakes. But it was just so like oh my God, that could have been bad.
Yeah.
And I was like, she just doesn't need to know about this. Like, I don't need to tell Ross about this.
Right.
And I'm not going to, because like I think, thank God she was fine. Like, she literally was like, she didn't even cry. It wasn't even upsetting. I don't even think she knew it was happening.
Right, right.
And she wasn't a tiny infant, but she also wasn't, like I said, she wasn't walking yet. She was probably 5 or 6 months when that happened.
Oh, shit.
So she was like big enough to withstand a little jostling around.
Yeah.
But that was the kind of thing where it was like a very clear decision, like, I'm not going to tell her about this.
Yeah, smart.
And I think we've talked about it. This will be interesting if this is Ross's first time hearing this story, because she likes, by the way, she likes giving me mini reviews of our episodes. So, Ross, I love you. I swear I'm a good dad.
I think, this takes a lot of self-awareness.
Mm.
If you are honest with yourself and know that you won't do this again, I think you could keep that to yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, if you're like, yo, like, me and my partner are both like prone to do stupid shit like this, you gotta like admit it.
Yeah.
Like if does Ross play like that?
No, she's so cautious.
Then, and yeah, like, I think if you admit it to yourself that you won't do that, and you learn from it, you can keep that. But yeah, like, if you and Ross are both putting that baby on the sofa, that's gotta be groundbreaking news. Like, yo, yeah, Shorty, yeah, my bad. She somersaulted off of this shit. It was incredible. You know what I mean? She has a future. Yeah.
I gave her a 10. I got my cards out. I said 10. 10 across the board.
She's got a future, honey. But for the time being, you and I should maybe not do this anymore. You got to own that.
Yeah, you've heard of pageant dads. I'm like a gymnast dad. I'm like, honey, we're starting this career now. Yeah, I actually think I didn't tell her out of... hey, I have to tell you about this thing that happened. I want to tell you because I don't want to do it again. It wasn't out of that. It was like, hey, did I ever tell you that crazy shit that I did? It's kind of funny now looking back, right? She's like, no.
And also, again, this it also leads to my previous point of like, what's your role as the parent, right? So like, I think one parent, though, is always more prone to be safety focused. Mm. One is more prone to be like, push boundary.
Yeah.
And while this might not have been your intention,
yeah,
if you talk about it to the safety prone parent, you're going to lose the ability to give your kid opportunities to explore.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so like, learn from it, be like, all right, that was too far. But like, you don't want to necessarily like blow it up, especially that early, because like, that's when they're peak safety mode. You know what I mean? Like, yo, like, protect all the corners, and you know what I mean? Yeah. You know, chew up their food before they eat it. You know, all that craziness they doing.
Do people do that?
I hope not.
Like, literal chewing up, like bird style. But the verdict for me on this one is like, I just think biological hazards have to be like really.
Yeah, this is level one shit. Like,
yeah,
real talk. Like,
your kid can't be in a position where they can literally consume the shit of another being.
I agree. I think that's fully on you. I think that how are you losing track of an 11-month-old?
Yeah, what does it say? She said the first sentence, it was unusually quiet. That is a bad sound. When I realize I haven't heard her say or do something, or there's nothing moving, I'm like, something horrible's happening.
And I got to put that on you. I feel like before a year, there's no way the baby should be able to move without making noise.
Yeah, and you got to kind of have them in your sight at all times.
That's too early to be self-playing.
Yeah, yeah. Ugh, man.
Sorry. I won't say someone should take your baby away, but like, you need like a weekend off. You got to go get some training, okay? That was a rough move right there, B. Def, don't share that at the dinner parties. People might judge you differently.
Yeah.
Totally. And like, also, you know, the one thing I will applaud you with is only if this is the only place you shared this with. You shouldn't be telling anybody this, because it's not fair that everyone's going to grow up knowing that baby ate shit but the baby.
Yes.
That baby's going to be 15 and like, random people just won't be able to throw that in their face.
That's a good point.
You ate shit one day, all right?
That is a good point. I am so curious about what information does get talked about amongst your family. Like, when you do something embarrassing, like, I did some embarrassing stuff as a teenager, and I'm so curious, like, which things was my mom like, hey, did I tell you I walked in on him the other day? Like, because that happened when I was in high school, and I'm, like, How far along did that story go?
Yeah, that should stay in that house.
Yeah.
Certain shit just shouldn't move. So, yeah. Like, if you did that, nobody in your family should know. Because that's not fair to that person. They're going to grow up when they be like, that shit eater.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? And then that person going to get in a fight and, like, they're not going to know that ammo is out there, you know, yes. waiting in somebody's chamber. Nah,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. Not I mean, fair. Yeah, if that becomes public knowledge, that girl's going to get crushed at yeah. Comedy Fight Club or the next roast battle.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So here's a different one. So yeah, we figured we'd use this episode as just some stuff we found on the internet.
I'm with that. Yeah.
This is fun, right? All right. So this one says, this is in the fatherhood subreddit. It says, having two girls. Hey everyone. I recently discovered that my family is welcoming another girl. And to my surprise, I found myself grappling with a sense of disappointment as I had always envisioned having both a daughter and a son. This has left me feeling quite upset with myself, and I'm trying to navigate these emotions. I suppose part of me is looking forward to sharing father-son activities that are traditionally seen as manly. A third child is not an option. I'm reaching out to other dads who have two daughters. What has your journey been like? Have you found joy and fulfillment in raising your girls? Any insights or experiences would be greatly appreciated. That's a fun question for me to think about because I'm the dad of a daughter. We're just going to have the one daughter. And there have been people over just these few years who have very openly disagreed with our decision. And they'll say, don't you want her to have a little buddy or a little friend? Or shouldn't she have a sibling? Some people have said, don't you want to have a boy too?
Oh, y'all shutting it down.
Oh yeah, yeah, we're done.
Oh
yeah,
wow!
Yeah. I got the procedure right around her first birthday.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. How do you feel about it?
About not having more?
Yeah,
I think that's a smart move. I feel like too many people have too many. I think one kid might be too many for a lot of us.
Or the environment.
Yeah, like.
I keep joking about our friends who are having larger families, which I respect. I respect everybody's like family planning decisions.
I don't. But I don't respect a lot of y'all. Y'all are out of pocket.
I do want to make a custom greeting card that says congratulations on your growing family on the outside, and then on the inside it says, have you heard about sea level rise? Because I am just kind of like, we're running out of space and resources. The sea levels are rising. The temperatures keep going up. And I, you know, when the apocalypse comes, I want to have speed and agility to like get it to higher ground.
Amen.
So Ross, we're going to desert and I'll take Franny, me and her, we can travel fast.
I don't know. No. I feel like Ross is in the best shape. No,
that is 100% true.
I was going to say like,
she's in insane shape.
Like if somebody's like climbing up walls and jumping, it's Ross all day.
No, it is. You're right.
You better hope Ross likes telling stories about you.
Yeah, exactly.
The world ending, any future that your daughter has remembering you is because Ross likes you. Yeah. That's it.
He was a good man. He was a good man. He didn't have core strength.
That's why he's not here today.
He hit 43, and it was constant foot pain and back pain and a lack of core strength. So
that's why we do sit-ups and we say his name, okay? Now I get pee.
Oh, my God.
Hey.
I do need motivation for that. Would it be weird if I put up a vision board of like my fitness vision? Like I don't even, we've talked about six packs. I don't want six packs, but I do want to be fit and healthy. So
I
like,
think that
who is my ideal, who would that be? Like John Hamm? Like John Hamm doesn't have it. I mean, he's so handsome, but he's a bigger guy, but he's definitely in good shape.
Yeah, he's in good shape, but he's not like cut up.
Yeah, maybe I need a vision board of just pictures of John Hamm.
That's fair.
Would that be weird?
Would like that too, I think. Yeah. You know what I mean? That works. Yeah. It works for everybody in the house. I like that.
Oh,
that's
God.
A good look.
That's hilarious, though. Yeah, she's definitely the one.
How about that just being your vision? Like, come up with 8 attributes of health.
Yeah.
And if Ross could do them better than you, you need to beat that. Like, run a mile, 20 push-ups, 5 pull-ups.
I wonder about the push-ups. So
and I don't. I'm not saying this to insinuate she could death do it anymore.
No.
But like those are general things that I think like people associate with health.
Yeah, yeah.
And if she could crush you in those, and yeah, you got some work to
what
do.
What is the New York State physical fitness test called? What was that called?
I've heard about this, but I don't. I know like in high school I had to run an 8 minute mile.
Yeah. It's like the
presidential,
it was something about the president's fitness test or something.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I know I had to do the 8 minute mile.
I haven't thought about that in forever.
What else? I know there was sit-ups in like a minute.
It was sit-up. How many sit-ups in a minute? Could you do like 3 pull-ups or something? I could not do 3 pull-ups right now.
I couldn't do that for sure.
Oh my. Yeah. It's the presidential fitness test.
Then it was like 20 push-ups or something like that.
And yeah, the mile was always so anxiety inducing because I have asthma. So I always had this, like, I think the anxiety about doing it would create stress. And then the physical stress, it always led to an asthma attack. Nah. And it was just like, so, oh my God.
I was on a football team. Like they had us running every day. I demolished the mile.
Yeah.
I ran like just under 7 minutes for that. Like I
nice.
Crushed that shit.
Yeah.
Very, very different today. Not
yeah,
happening.
Yeah. We should
I do 7 minute blocks
up,
right now,
we
yo.
We should look up the standards and just try to do it.
That's what we're going to train towards. See, real talk.
Yeah, we just want to have the physical fitness of an eighth grader. just to get
hey,
the check
peak
mark.
Eighth grader, okay? Yeah. We're not this eighth graders that failed that test, okay?
Yeah.
We're not one of those. We're going to graduate. We're going to succeed.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Oh my God. All right. All right, so back to the question. Would I be okay with having a second daughter? Oh, so I guess the thing I've been thinking about male energy, like, cause this plays into masculinity and fatherhood and connecting with a young man. Like, I actually feel really lucky that our kid has a ton of friends already, and we've become really close with some other families. And this other family, they have 2 boys. They're about to have a 3rd boy. And their oldest boy is her age, and I love this kid. Like, I love seeing him. I like interacting with him. And I could see, if they stay in the neighborhood, I could see us having a really long relationship with them as a family. And, like, I could see us all going on camping trips or traveling or whatever. And I feel like you can get that, whatever this guy wants that he's posting about, oh, no, I have a second daughter, like, he can get that elsewhere. Like, I have an uncle who had a child much later in life, and before he had children, he coached a soccer team, he coached baseball teams. Like, there's ways to interact with young men that will scratch that itch you might have for, like, male child rearing. You know what I mean?
That's beautiful.
I think there's a way to do that. That's not creepy. I mean, obviously, some of this sounds borderline creepy or whatever, but I don't know.
You
I think
touch the youth, you know?
Yeah, I think I
really
just
get in there, you know?
Yeah, snatch a kid. I think you can just. I think child rearing is truly a village based thing.
Yeah,
like they say.
Like real talk, if I could do it over, my focus would be more on recruiting more parents. Like I love my 2 kids. I think we need like 5 parents.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that would be like the ideal amount.
So you could divide and conquer,
take turns, rejuvenate,
play zone defense.
Zone defense, real talk, yeah. Yo. In terms of this gentleman having 2 girls, I got one of each, my G. Like good luck with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's beautiful too, admittedly, but I feel blessed. I love that I have one of each. They're very different, and I get different things from each of them. Weirdly, I would tell you I get more of the competitive stuff from her.
Yeah.
She's definitely like the one with the like, I want to demolish my competition.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, she's about that. He has it in him, but he doesn't share it the same way she does. Like, she'll text me from school, "Dad, hit 4 kids with the Frisbee today in gym class."
Yeah.
Loved it. Like,
yeah.
You know, and like, she knows I fuck with that. So like, I get a lot more of that from her in that regard, but like, I treat them differently. I think I treat them fairly, but I definitely know I do things conscientiously different and in subconsciously different.
Yeah.
But I find them both very rewarding. I think the overall lessons are the same, but there's things that I realize that I would only say one versus the other, and I could see missing that.
Yeah.
If I was a parent.
And I don't know. I think everything this guy thinks he wants with a boy, he can like
you just
give
him a kid.
Yeah. Well, who knows what she'll be like? Like there are young girls who are like predator level alpha athletes who really shine on the basketball court or the swim team or lacrosse. Like,
my daughter is in art. And she's doing it in art. She's like, how shitty this drawing is.
Yo,
like, I love it. Like, she'll straight up show me other kids' work. She's like, Dad, this is what he did after 4 weeks of work. And like, you don't realize you're going to get into that. Like, yo, this is a fucking shitty water painting. You know what I mean? Like, you damn right that shit is trash. You know, and like, we high five each other. Hell yeah. You could get that energy from whatever it is the kid is giving you.
Yeah.
But the kid's personality, like, that's like something that like, that's more of a crapshoot, but you don't know which one of them is going to get it, to your point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Your daughter might have that.
You can have a daughter who's going to deliver some atomic wedgies or
real talk,
knock out a kid in the parking lot or smoke cigarettes and drink beers. Whatever you think being a man is or masculine energy, your daughter is totally capable of delivering all that.
My daughter has checked several people in her school.
Yeah.
And I get those beautiful stories. It's awesome.
I do remember the day Franny made a young boy cry at the playground because she wouldn't give his excavator back in the dirt pile.
Okay.
And there was something I felt good about with that. I was like, take what you want and don't let the patriarchy say no. Whether it's fair or not, who cares?
Yo, I'm about it, yo. Real talk, B.
Yeah.
Out here.
All right, so that's a fun one. Which reminds me of one I brought up to you last week. I don't have it in front of me, but there was a person who said, I'm jealous of the relationship my husband has with our daughter.
Ooh.
And she said, I'm the mom, and me and my daughter have a good communication and a fine relationship, but when we text, it's, hey, what time are you coming home? My daughter will say, what time? And I'll say, okay, great, see you then. Or, hey, reminder, you got to get this assignment in at this time. It's like all like info-based communication. Yeah. And she said, I had to go on my husband's phone for something, and I noticed his and our daughter's conversation, and it's all jokes and memes, and it's a running dialogue all day long. They have this like deep and funny relationship, and it's clear that she prefers talking to him.
Oh yeah.
And she said, I'm feeling feelings of jealousy and envy. I want what my husband has with my daughter, but I don't have it. How do you deal with this?
Yeah, man.
And I was thinking about that, and it's a really interesting. Oh, and what got me thinking about this question was a big part of the daughter and the dad's life is sports. The mom was never into sports. She was a dancer. The dad was always an athlete, and now the kid is an athlete. She's like a softball player or whatever. So much of their life is around sports. And I mean, that seems like, honestly, like not the problem, but why it's going on. It's like they have this connection. If one parent has a deep connection on a certain part of her life, like, of course the relationship's just gonna kind of go from there, right?
Listen, you can't fake it. I ain't even gonna tell you like, nah, B, you should find some, nah, B, accept your role. What you should be is
you're the Uber driver.
You're real tall. That's it, B. You the second parent there, and it's okay. Thrilled and happy that your kid loves communicating like that with one of you, that they still see value in keeping you in the loop, period. Like, that's still love. It's just, I get it. It ain't what you wanted, but you ain't that parent.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that you offer something different to your kid. Pardon me. And like, it is what it is. Like, I feel like I'm the second parent in both of my kids' life. Cause like, Gabby would stay at home with them for like the first few years of their lives. So like, regardless of what the question is, if it's like of importance, they always go to her first.
Yeah. And you know? And bonding exists as a word for a reason. Like, bonding is a real thing. And this girl sounds like she's bonded to her dad.
Yeah.
Because of repetitions and time spent.
He put in time and he has a connection in this thing, and it is what it is. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
This is what I was working realistically like 60, 65 hours a week for like the first like 7-8 years of the kids' lives. My kids have a tighter relationship with my wife. But I feel like that's what I gave my wife and my kids. Gave them the space to have that relationship,
right?
So like, I don't view it as an offense.
That was very generous of you, and quite gift. Yo, you should be the hero of this
family.
What
I do, it's what I do. But like, real spit is like, if I worked less, Gabby would be working too, and they'd have that with neither of us.
Yeah,
exactly. You know what I mean? So,
yeah,
like,
that's interesting.
I feel like I did my job to give the space for them to be able to be that close.
Yeah.
I think that's dope, like, sincerely. Yeah. And in turn, I still get the stories. Gabby tells them to me. And now that I'm around more, I'm, like, around during the day, I'm building a different bond with each of the kids. It might never be what it is with Gabby, but it's the second closest relationship they have with someone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I've built stuff with each of them that's like specifically ours. So like they've come to understand what I do for a living. So like Aiden realizes that a lot of comedy is me winning an argument.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll come to me and ask me advice on like how to word things.
That's hilarious.
You know what I mean? Like, how do I say this better? How do I win? And like, sometimes it's for like an essay, but sometimes it's for like, yeah, I just want to crush it at the lunch table.
I love the idea, you know, that you are Aiden's personal Dale Carnegie. You're like, all right, son, sit down.
All right, we're going to talk this out, boy. You know what I mean? And like, and with my daughter, like, while we're not doing the same creative field, there's a lot of overlap in terms of like process and like
creativity.
Yeah. Like, so like we talk a lot about like, you know, what do I go through every day to like come out with the hour of material every year? And like, you know, so like when she's frustrated with homework, I'm like, yeah, like that's an open mic, my G. You know what I mean? You're just doing reps.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of connection there. And like, I know Gabby, like, sometimes wishes she could interject to those convos because she used to do artistic things before and they don't view her as that.
Right.
But, you know, she's letting me have it because she has all the other things.
Yeah.
So she's like, yeah, like they need that. You know what I mean? So you'll find your thing. If it like really bothers you, just be cognizant of the things that you and your daughter connect with. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was going to say,
you'll find it.
Maybe she could step up her game when it comes to, you know, fashion or like, getting something you're interested in. Like, maybe it's about communicating a passion you have to your kid. And who knows? Maybe they'll say, oh, wow, I am interested in that. But they also, you just have to be ready for them to reject anything you're trying to bring to them.
It is what it is. They might not think you cool, and that's okay too. Yeah. Real talk, you the parent, all right? You ain't the homie.
Yeah, you're not trying to be best friends.
Yeah,
here,
man. Like it sucks. Your husband lucked into the homie role, but that wasn't the priority.
And his that could also be
like that could be bad,
or it could be temporary too.
Yeah.
Like if this kid is like 12 or 14, like that's a cute phase she's having with her dad, but it's all about to change again anyway, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Like, once this girl becomes more interested in boys who are not her dad, things are going to change quite a
lot.
And then maybe the mom is going to be more important to her.
You back in the picture, baby.
Or both of you are going to be excommunicated. And
more than likely.
The daughter is going to go rogue, and she's not texting anybody.
I'm just saying, I told this to my son the other day. Like, we was having a convo that was one of the rare times where like I got like serious with them. Like usually I'm like playful with both of them. And I was like I was checking them hard on something. And he looked at me, I was like, yo, I'm gonna be real with you, little man. I love you, but I ain't your mom. Mm. I ain't gonna hug you every time you do something wrong. Sometimes like I get blunt and I would love for us to be cool all the time. But if you tell me today that you are gonna be a responsible, healthy, happy adult male, and in turn I can never be your friend, but but you're gonna respect me, I'll take that trade now. Like I don't need to be your homie, I just need you to respect what I'm saying, know that it's coming from a good place.
Yeah.
And in turn, if that leads to you being a better person, I'll take that trade now.
Well, and what's interesting about that too is I think that's also temporary. It's kind of like, you know, he's a young man, so it's like he's currently in, you know, let's say grad school for becoming a functional, healthy, responsible adult, right?
Yeah.
So let's say for the next 8 years, you can't really be buddies, but
you can be
a support system with a little bit of authority and a little bit of, I guess authority is the word, or whatever. You're just not going to coddle him. But like eventually that could lead to you guys having a really rich, deep friendship when you're both realized men.
Yeah, when he's achieved it. Yeah. So like, I he gets that, and we still good, obviously, you know what I mean? He ain't move out, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, 13-year-old, start packing.
My dad doesn't want to be my pal anymore. I'm moving out.
You won't play Legos with me. Nah, babe.
Yeah.
We good. But I felt like it was important for him to hear that. Like, yo, like, Regardless of how you feel about me in the moment, my advice is always going to be genuine for you.
Yeah.
And that's not going to change. And I think, and he acknowledges that.
Yeah.
So yeah, like, you know,
I love the idea of giving your kid like a reality TV show statement of, hey, I'm not here to make friends.
Okay? Yeah, do real talk. You got to do it. I don't even say it to him. I say it to the camera.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yo, listen. So I tried to tell him.
Oh, man. All right, so that's that one.
Yo, low-key, you know what I mean? I've been debating on starting a YouTube series just that.
What's that?
Where, like,
oh, like the confessional?
Like confessional advice that, like, I wanted to give my kid.
Yeah,
like, yo, watch these when you can, because I can't always say it to your face.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I don't got, like, it might not have worked out time wise, or it might be something that I think is important for you to hear later, but I'm remembering it now.
Yeah,
so I'm gonna just start documenting those and be like, yo, just play this back.
Yeah,
you know what
I mean? Yeah,
we're gonna be out there, yo. Real talk, daddy advice coming soon.
I like that. I wonder if there's a way to do it where you can shield them from knowing whether or not it's about them. Or is it important that they know this is about them?
Oh, it would depend on the episode.
Yeah.
Ah.
All right. This one is the spiciest one. I skipped one you sent because this one might take a while. Maybe we'll keep this brief. I don't know.
Let's see what happens.
We'll see.
Who knows? Rochambeau, baby.
So this one is, it says, 3-year-old accidentally walked in on us. So our 3-year-old still sleeps with us in our bedroom for now. Therefore, our sex life mostly consists of quiet and dark under the cover quickies as she is sleeping, which we have not even attempted.
Yo, hold up. When we started this, I thought you said you started this from spiciest.
No, least to most spicy.
Oh, I was about
spicy.
To say, like, what's your spicy like me to hear over?
No, we've been working up to this one.
I don't get your spicy meat at all now.
We're closing on the sex one.
Eating shit, then we got, like, the two daughters, then now we back up to sex.
No, I felt like a kid eating shit is spicy in its own way, of course.
Okay.
But, yeah. All right. So this one is, this couple, they're all sleeping in the same room, and they're doing quickies in the room with the kid. Quiet quickies. I've never even attempted that.
How old is the kid?
3-year-old. Wow.
Nah, that's wild work.
Wow.
Yo.
Yeah. So, but this isn't...
I don't know what the question is, but stop.
Okay.
That's my answer.
Yeah.
That's the answer.
Well, so sometimes if the kid's sleeping deep enough, we go out into the living room, to our spare bedroom and have eventful... kinky all-nighters that are always absolutely incredible. Good for you. I'm jealous. We're still trying to figure out how to make this a part of our life again, to be honest. Last night was one of these nights, and our daughter was sleeping. I had turned on our baby monitor on our phone. Blah, blah, blah. Well, at one point, we were in the bathroom quickly washing up, and our phones were left in the spare bedroom with the cameras going. So we didn't see her wake up and walk across the house to find us. When we walked out of the bathroom, she was walking into the spare bedroom, and I hurried to her and picked her up to get her back to bed, but not before she caught a glimpse of the porn we had playing on the TV. She only saw a second or two, and it was of a fairly tame threesome. However, she was... by the way, I don't think I've ever watched porn with a partner.
I don't do that either.
That's so interesting that this couple considers a kinky all-nighter in the spare bedroom just like watching porn, and I assume doing it.
Hey, man, whatever you went to, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. What
for,
is it?
Again, good for you. I'm just speaking this way because I'm envious. So she only saw a second or two. However, she was wide-eyed with a bit of... Because 3 years old, that is... an image. Like at 3, like Franny would know what she wouldn't know that it's sex, but she would register whatever she's seeing. You know, she's almost 4, but like this kid definitely noticed something was confusing. She was wide-eyed, confused, concerned look on her face. I scooped her up so fast and got her back to bed. The look on her face was like, what the fuck? Thank goodness it's all she saw, but I can't help wonder if we really fucked up. I wish we were more careful in the future. We will be. I just feel awful that her little innocent brain had to see something like that. I know she's super young and that she will probably already had forgotten, but I still wonder. I mean, how do we really know the extent that which they can remember and what they truly forget and what impact can it have on their developing minds? Too long to read. TLTR, our 3-year-old daughter walked in on us watching porn. I will say, I was watching, you know that Aubrey Plaza movie where she's like, I think it's called Criminal. Have you seen this?
I think so.
It's like she's a part of this like credit card scam.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, that's just dope.
It's good, but there's one scene, I was like, oh, Franny's over there. She's playing over there. Who cares? I'll just like watch 5 minutes of this. Because you know how, as a parent, you can't just watch a movie when they're little, at least. Like, I have to like watch 5 minutes. Like, I just finished Dune last night.
Okay.
And it took me like 6 sittings to
get. How old is Franny?
She's almost 4 now.
Okay.
So, you know, I work at night. So it's like I'm not sitting at home watching movies at night. Anyway, long story short, I hit play on this movie right when somebody comes to attack Aubrey Plaza in her hotel or apartment or whatever. This guy, like, it's a scary scene. He comes through the door and he like grabs her, and it basically gets violent fast, and I didn't have the pause button close enough. And like, I do remember looking at Franny, who saw this happening, like, look really like, what did I just see? Like, her little brain couldn't handle like a man attacking somebody on a movie. So yeah, their little brains can't handle certain things.
I disagree. Give them all those reality checks.
just
play all that shit.
Yeah.
Raw, real talk. Play Paid in Full, Menace to Society.
Yeah.
All the most gangster shit they can see. They need to see it. They need to know it's possible. You know what I mean? They need to appreciate the fact that they ain't in that environment today.
I'm taking PBS Kids off my phone, and I'm making her look at the Citizen app.
That should be all on the background all the time.
Just fires, real gunfire, explosions.
I'll be real. I didn't play sex scenes in front of my kids, but like violence all day.
Yeah.
I didn't check any of that shit. Yeah. I was like, listen, man, you got the TV all day. Your mom got the TV after that. When I'm here, I'm playing whatever the fuck I want. Real talk.
Yeah.
Every curse they say, don't say it. Yeah. You can't say it. Real talk. All those guns, they heavy. That's why you can't play with them. Right. If you could pick it up, you could shoot one too.
that's the rules of this house.
Rules of this crib. Nah, but like, it's just like, I don't know. It felt silly to like edit it, because I was like, I'd rather just explain, this is grown up time. Go to your room.
Yeah.
That's what I do. This is an adult show. You can't watch it.
Yeah.
And as they've gotten older.
No, you didn't even attempt like, this, I didn't, is, I didn't this attempt is pretend. To explain it. Like, this is not real.
I said that as they got older. I was like, this is pretend. It's not real. But, and then when they asked, why can't I watch it? I was like, because you'll know what is happening. Factually, you won't know the subtext.
Right.
And for adults to be entertained, we need more complex stories that sometimes are confusing for kids.
Yeah.
That's the explanation I gave. And then
that seems responsible.
I feel like I was like, if you need more than that, like, yo, we could watch them together.
Yeah.
But like, that's kind of been it. And then like, and I told him, I was like, as you get older, you'll find, and the way I explained it was like Aiden was like 9. And he was like, I could watch. I was like, I'm positive you'll understand like the facts of what's happening.
Yeah.
But the subtext will be beneath you, and that's will be above you, like what you can understand. And what you're seeing is going to affect you differently because you're not getting that.
Right.
And I need complicated stories like that because I'm an adult and I need more to understand.
And what's interesting is all this applies to pornography. Like, I need the storyline.
I need the story.
I need to see the pizza man get out of his car.
Straight up.
I need him to check his watch and wonder if he's going to get a big enough tip.
Real talk, I need to know he has a mortgage. You know, like, yo, what's the stress behind his delivery?
what's his motivation for having this job?
But now, like, I told him, I was like, yo, like, you watch cartoons still, but you don't watch Little Einsteins.
Right.
Right? That shit, you don't watch Dora no more, right? That chick bores you. And there was a time when, like, her slow-ass fucking storytelling was peak storytelling for you.
Yeah.
But now you need more.
Yeah, Dora hesitates too long.
Yo, it's
waiting
crazy.
For those answers.
But, like, when you won, Dora's killing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was like, that's what's happening to me. When I watch your cartoon, she's like Dora to me, so I need this.
Okay.
So when you're older, you're going to need something like this too, but you'll be mentally mature enough to handle it.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, I get you.
That makes sense.
So, yeah, and now, you know, I told him, I was like, I'm going to be real, like, this stuff that you shouldn't be watching because it's like R grade or whatever, but I know you watching it.
Yeah.
I get it. You know what I mean? Just if you have a question, let me know, but do what you got to do. All I ask is that if you watch some R rated, it'd be artistically dope.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to watch adult shit, it better be fire. You know what I mean? Like, yo, we watching all, I want you seeing like The Godfather. You know what I mean?
Let's start with The Godfather before John Wick.
Real talk. Hey, I'm pro John Wick though. That's just like action movie excellence.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
But maybe not a lot of story. But the action scenes, the cinematography.
We might not like cats on this podcast, but we love dogs. So real talk. John Wick makes sense.
John Wick's that dude. Dope cars in the movie. You know what I mean? I like the suits.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I really believe that this is a real version of New York, too. I don't care what anybody says. I think that's happening all the time. But yeah, I don't even remember what was this lady.
So
the sex video. I thought they walked in on them. That would have been more of a question.
Yeah, me too. Them walking in on porn.
But I don't think that's that big a deal.
It is kind of a 2024 issue though, because now it's so easy for a kid to see something they shouldn't see because of the phones and the iPads and the screens and Bluetooth speakers. Like, you really got to cover your tracks. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I feel like if it happens, you just got to talk. Like, yo, that's not for you.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, I'm blown away by, like, yo, real talk, yo, parents, y'all think too much of yourselves, but more so, y'all think too much of your kids. Like, I need to humble y'all. Your kids are stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
Real talk. Yeah. Like, they dumb little people. And they become smart. I'm not saying they dumb forever, but he's four. Yeah. You know what I mean? He don't know that much.
This kid was three.
This kid's three. He's dumber.
Yeah.
Real, he knows less. And what I'm saying is, use it to your advantage.
Yeah.
Like, they don't need a super nuanced answer about this crazy thing that they saw.
Yeah.
It's just a new thing they saw. They go, the simplest explanation will, like, erase all curiosity. Literally be like, oh, that's a thing for adults. Okay.
Yeah.
And keep it moving. I promise you, that kid will be fine.
Yeah.
You being nervous and giving some weird answer is what's going to make that register to that kid.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I think we are in a time when people overprocess stuff.
Yeah,
and if you over-explain, then you're like confusing them further.
Yeah.
So if you just say that's for grown-ups, we left it on. Sorry you had to see. Not even sorry. Yeah.
That's a grown-up show. You won't see that for a while. Don't worry about it.
You weren't
keep
supposed
it
to see that. Yeah.
That's it. I promise you. Done. You Which, making it too much, my G.
So I am
move
curious.
To the kitchen. Give them some cereal. Party over.
Yeah. Just the topic of pornography though. Like, they are saying like, kids are seeing things and learning things way younger than we did. And even for us, it felt probably the same thing, like more information than the previous generation had. Have you had that, any of those kinds of talks with them? Like, you got to look out.
That's more of a Gabby convo.
Yeah.
I'm game to have it, but, like, they don't talk to me about that stuff. I know, they've had those convos, And they seem okay with it. But more than that, I haven't really been the one in that field. I got to give props to Gabby. She's kind of handled the front on that.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like they have weird. I feel like Gabby would have been like, yo, you know what this month asked me today or something. For the most part, I feel like they've been pretty straightforward about what they're looking at. Michaela's pretty real about like watching R-rated films and stuff, because she'll hear about it from a classmate, and like if an art aspect of it intrigues her, she really wants to watch it.
Yeah.
And like she'll ask me, hey, can I see this, and like ask me to watch it.
What would you say is the most intense, and she's 15?
Yeah.
What's like the most intense horror film she's seen? Like
horror, it's not really her genre, but like there's an R-rated cartoon on Amazon that like talks about like hookers and like blowjobs and all types of crazy shit.
Like GTA.
Let me see.
A cartoon.
Yeah, it's about a hotel in hell.
Oh wow.
And like it's being like run by like a former prostitute porn star. It's a wild concept.
Yeah.
But like the original pilot was made by a YouTube animator and the animation is phenomenal and the joke telling is like top tier.
Yeah.
So like her mom watches Big Bang Theory, so I'm trying to undo that. So I'm like, yo, this is funny for real.
Like, let's get a dose of reality.
Real talk. I'm like, you can watch this. This is fire. Like, the writing is top tier. The animation work looks insane on the pilot, even better on the Amazon thing with the budget.
Yeah.
I was like, yo, like, you can watch it. And I told her, I was like, there's going to be jokes here that, like, being real, your mom and I wouldn't say in front of you.
Right.
But I also know you're hearing every day you're in high school.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm like, I'm not going to lie to you, like, yo, don't watch this because it's too grown.
Yeah.
It's inappropriate for you to talk like this, but watch it.
Yeah, that's a tough line to kind of navigate, because yeah, you know, at 15, like, I remember what I was talking about at 15, yeah, or learning about at 15, not through my parents. So like, if a parent comes in and tries to pretend like, oh, we don't do that, or you're not ready for that, that would just, like,
you're gonna lose credibility.
Yeah, exactly. I was just gonna say, it would be a like, they'd lose trust in you, but credibility is a better word. Like, to be like, well, my dad's full of shit.
Yeah. Do you see? You see how I talk? I'm cursing in the house all the time.
Yeah,
you know, like, it just is what it is. Yeah. And there is so many clips of me doing shit like this.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah,
online. Yeah. Like, yeah, it just is. Like, you could just be Exhibit A, Dad, yeah, YouTube. Like, yeah, I'm gonna lose it too fast. Yeah. Like, it just is what it is. So like, I try to be very, like, straight up about that stuff. So I told her, yeah, like, being real, like, you shouldn't be saying shit like this. But I know that your friends are, and you probably are too.
Honey,
and
honey,
just don't do it in front of us.
I heard you're cursing at school, and you shouldn't be doing shit like this.
Yo, and like, even with cursing, me and Gabby got into this a while ago. I told Michaela she could curse when she was like 10.
Yeah.
I said, just make sure that that it's the perfect word every time you use it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that it's environment specific. So I was like, you probably shouldn't be cursing in class. I'm okay if you curse in school. You probably shouldn't curse in front of your mom. You can curse with me. Don't curse in front of grandmas. Curse in front of grandpas. They're cool with it.
Oh, that's funny.
You know what I mean? And like, I think your mom will eventually be cool with it, because she curses. She just doesn't like the idea of your cute voice cursing now.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
she'll get over it when she realizes that you're still a competent, responsible person.
Yeah. We've had a much more simplified version of this conversation around Franny going, Jesus Christ. Because that's a fave of Ross's. Ross loves saying that one. She doesn't even know she says it, but it comes out, and Franny has learned it. So occasionally she'll just be in her room, like, she, something falls out. Jesus Christ.
Little 4-year-old mechanic over there, yo.
Exactly.
Hell yeah, yo. Yo, Franny's in the Teamsters, yo. You ain't know? Jesus Christ. Where's my pliers, yo? I got oil all over the suit.
This fucking guy, Jesus Christ.
I told him it won't be ready till tomorrow.
But your talk that you delivered to your kid is very similar to one you gave me. We were kind of talking about the philosophy of cursing or not to curse on stage. And you said, I think cursing's a crutch. And if you're going to use the word, it should be the perfect word for the perfect time in the bit or the story.
Yeah, I agree. I think I curse most conversationally. Like, if you're on a podcast, I think this is when I most curse.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. I'm talking freely without restrictions of like a boss. And on top of that, like, I'm just developing an idea. I hope people realize I'm joking a ton of the time. And B, that I am a mature enough adult that if I say something, I'm willing to accept that I'm wrong on a podcast,
right,
way more than anywhere else. And I'll admit to it, because this is a convo that I'm having in the moment. If you send me something that says, hey, like, you're crazy and this is why, I'll be, oh, that makes sense, you know? But on a special, on stand-up, that's a developed thought.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, usually I stand by that a little bit more. And more importantly, I have a chance to curate the words.
Right.
So, like, if I'm cursing on there, I feel like it's the word I needed to express that thing exactly that way. And there's still a way of saying it without a curse usually, but it might not be the exact feeling.
That is such an evolved parenting tactic, to talk about cursing, not from a place of you shouldn't do that, for like a rules-based thing, but from a place of artistic integrity.
Straight up. It's the only thing I think. I told you before, comedy has become my religion, and like I genuinely believe that. Like, I feel like it's made me a better person, and it's allowed me to think through things through a lens that, like, I apply through life. Real shit, I think that anyone that gets into any endeavor and pursues it with the intention of doing it to its peak will find that anything could be their religion, and they'll find these thing, a version of that in that thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure there's some weird way that, like, a chef explains why you shouldn't curse.
Yeah. It's like, you gotta heat the butter up before you start dropping F-bombs.
Real talk. Like, I'm sure there's a way that, like, it makes sense in their head why you should or shouldn't do it a certain amount of times.
Or he would say, actually, the chef would say this. He'd say, look, people love jalapeno in their cornbread. They think they want a lot, but they don't. You don't actually want a lot. You want the perfect amount of jalapeno in the right spot and not too much. Because you do too much, then it's overpowering.
Boom.
I'm a chef. Did I tell you that?
Well, oh, man. The secrets are coming out, baby. You know what I mean?
I love the wisdom. I love the insight. I love the idea of writing a parenting book with comedy as the religion. Stand-up comedy. I think you're being very specific about stand-up comedy and the performance of it as religion. I think there's something really cool to that. I think that's going to be a great kids book about why not to curse.
So sell like 4 units, baby.
Yes.
The most niche audience.
Exactly.
Of parents who are comedians of kids who try to curse too much.
Well, thanks for joining us for another show, another episode, another podcast.
Catch y'all next time. Peace.
Bye-bye.